Okay, well, good morning. Welcome to our class. Our topic is how to be godly in an ungodly world, or how to survive election year in America. Amen. Let's start with a prayer, okay? Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how it gives us guidance. We especially thank you for the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount that we've looked at for the past couple of weeks. Thank you for each brother here today, Father, and the thoughts that they are going to share with us. And we thank you that we have this facility to meet in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, welcome to the first edition of The Few. Okay, we are the few, the humble, the disciples, okay? And we have four panelists here. We have Perry Parks, Todd Schultz, Darius Andrews, and Scott Dang, who will join us momentarily, I'm sure. Each panelist is going to have 5 minutes to talk about what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks in our Bible class. And after they've each had 5 minutes, we will have a one-minute lightning round where they will be able to comment on each other's initial comments. So without further ado, we have a timer, too. Start. You have 5 minutes.
All right. Good morning, everybody. You know, I'm getting ready for this panel discussion. I thought to myself, you know, what's important that came out of these discussions that we've had over the past weeks that God has been showing me in my heart that I need to do to be able to change to get ready for this political season? And not only for this political season, but also beyond it. I think whatever I learn now needs to exist for the entire time. And some things that Steve has said have really kind of kicked up the dust in the basement of my heart and shown me that I got some work to do. And so that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation. And I'm looking at this through the lens of why do I get bothered during the political season? And I think I figured something out. I figured out that the political season is really all about putting people in power that can influence our access to resources. And when people are dealing with or talking about their access to resources, it's really easy, at least for me, to get defensive and aggressive when I feel like I'm not going to be able to take care of myself, or I'm going to have a harder time taking care of myself. And so, you know, when I'm having to defend my resources or even defending my ego, you know, I can get tempted to get into some pretty dark places. And so that's kind of what I recognized is that, you know, why do I get there? Why do I get to a place where I get defensive and aggressive? And I think that I get there because I don't want to feel like I'm worthless. I don't want to feel like, I don't even want to have to wonder if I am. And so when people, I feel like I'm being treated unfairly or people are treating me unfairly, what that's doing is it's reminding me of what I think my worth is. Like I'm looking at people to tell me what my worth is. And if I was valued, I wouldn't be treated that way. Or people that look like me or in my situation wouldn't be treating that way if we were valued. And so that's what can kind of hop onto my back is, you know, I'm wondering, you know, why I don't get the resources I need, because if I was valuable, I'd get them. But if I'm not valuable or I'm not noticed, I won't get them. And so the political season kind of takes me here where I can feel to be tempted like I'm worth less. And as I really explore my heart, I see that it comes from this unnatural belief that what people are willing to give me in this world has anything to do with what I'm really worth. And I call it unnatural because, as we've been talking about, I think Jesus is the one that created nature. And if he says, and through the Beatitudes, like what Steve has been showing us, through the Beatitudes, God's been showing us how he determines worth and value. And that the blessings that he gives are to people that are meek and are poor in spirit and are humble and merciful and peacemakers. But I look around during political season, and this political machine runs over people like that, right? It seems like it squashes them, and that it gives no influence to people that are existing in that man-made system. And so But God is giving these kind of people influence. So I have to kind of to strain in my brain to recognize that he is the one that's giving me resources, and he's the one that's providing for me. Not the way that people look at me, not what I can get from this world. He's told me that, you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He's told me that I can't be snatched from his hand, and that even if I die, that a greater reward waits for me out there. The hard thing to do is to believe that, is when I'm listening to Jesus telling me to turn the other cheek or to walk 2 miles when the first mile I'm being asked to walk isn't fair, or to give my coat when somebody who's oppressing me is already, give my tunic when somebody is already oppressing me to give their coat. Now, that's hard for me to look at. The hardest for me thing to believe is that when I'm doing that, that I'm going to be okay. And, you know, that's hard for me to kind of see, is that when I'm looking at my physical resources and my time and energy being taken away, then I'm going to be fine. And so, in the political season, what I realize is that if I continue to look into the mirror of the world for my worth, I'm going to try to protect myself. But if I look into the mirror of God's word, then I'm going to realize I have so much more to give than what the world can take from me. And then,
30 seconds.
Thank you. And so if I have that much more to give, if somebody smacks my cheek, I'll have another cheek to give. If they take my tunic, it's okay. You know, if they tell me to walk 1 mile, I'll have that other mile to give, because I know that what I'm given isn't coming from them, it's coming from on high. So as I pour myself out, I'll have enough to be filled up with. And so that's what, believing that is what's hard in this political season for me.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Great stuff, Perry. I appreciate that. I think for me, this class has been really helpful for beginning the new year and the new decade. I think helpful in two ways. Helpful in being able to navigate the political climate that we're in, especially as the year goes on and will get even more hostile and intense, but also just helpful in my daily life. And I think it's called me back to just go back to the basics of studying out, you know, what it means to be a Christian. You know, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount has been really, really helpful for me as I kind of reset for this new year and new decade. One thing that strikes me is that I think in the first century, we're similar in some ways in that I think they were very political at that time. And the Jews were very political, and they were very much looking to politics for their answers and their solutions. Right. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, they try to force Jesus to become king, because they think that's going to be the answer to their problems. And I think that's a very natural response, because you would, you know, from a worldly perspective, yes, that's the answer to your problems. But then it neglects the deeper spiritual aspects. So I think we have to be careful to not make the same mistakes, because our culture is also very political. It permeates everything. It permeates our politics. You know, our news media stuff happening every day, sports, social media, all that is permeating everything. And I think it's because of the same reason that we're looking to politics for our answers for life. And so I think Steve's class has really helped to remind us, and kind of what Perry was saying as well, to be anchored in on our worth and our values from God, that God loved us enough to send Jesus to us. And God has an incredible plan for our lives and an incredible future for us in eternity in heaven. As a high school social studies teacher, I do feel a need to be connected with what's going on and be in touch with all these things. But I also can find myself getting caught up in it. And in the first class scripture that Steve shared, John 3:31 talked about the one who comes from above is above all. The one who's from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. So that's a big difference, the one who comes from above. In verse 34 there in John 3, it says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives his spirit without limit." And so the question that Steve was asking is, how much time are we spending in listening to the word? And listening to spiritual sermons, listening to or reading spiritual books, conversations with disciples, spiritual conversations, versus how much time we're being inundated by all the political stuff of the world. Who are we listening to more? And honestly, for me, that's very rival in terms of my time. You know, that I'm throughout the day or before I go to bed, I'll read articles, you know, about what's going on politically and all that. And so It's not that, you know, I have to be conscious of what is permeating my mind and my thoughts. And it should be unrivaled. It should be God, you know, predominantly. And then a little bit in touch with what's going on. And so that's one thing that really affected me. Another thing, and just in terms of daily life for me, is last class. And we talked about the very hard teachings of loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute or misuse you. And, of course, I think we all have relationships and situations at work where we feel misused or abused or taken advantage of or, you know, mistreated in different ways. For me, yesterday, I had the situation where my son, who is out of the country right now, asked me to check out and possibly buy a car for him that he had found. So I took a brother who is good at working with cars and has the devices to plug into the car and check it and all that. We went downtown Atlanta to check out this car, and we checked it out, and the codes all looked good, and everything looked great, the car looked good, took a test drive, that was all good, and handed him the money. As soon as I handed him the money, he was gone. Five or 10 minutes on the freeway, and the car started going crazy. The transmission was like shifting all over the place, being very jerky, RPMs were going all over the place, and then we spent the whole day trying to replace sensors and all that, and not much luck there. And so my temptation is like to get angry or resentful towards that guy. Like, he totally just ripped us off. He was not forthcoming at all about any of these issues. And
30 seconds.
Okay. It makes me want to go to anger and frustration, and yet that's the opposite of what Jesus says. Jesus says to love and to pray for. And wow, that is not my heart, you know, by nature. And, but if I'm serious about calling myself a Christian, that needs to be my heart. And so it's been a very helpful class.
Good morning. This is thank you, Steve, for allowing me to be on this panel. I think this is a really good time just to understand how can we survive election year. And one of the things I've learned is, I like to keep things a little bit simple, is, and the way we survive it is honestly just being spiritual. You know, because if we're spiritual, if we're being like Jesus, it's very easy for us to survive it. You don't have to know a lot of politics, but if you know your Bible, you can survive the election year. Another thing that really stood out to me in the class is blessed are the meek. Sometimes we think of blessed are the meek, we always think of weak. But actually, that's not what the word meek means. Meek is having controlled strength. You know, so you don't, in other words, and what that means to when it comes to politics, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to respond to everything. In other words, you deep down inside, you know, like, okay, you know, this is just what, especially saying to another brother or sister, you don't have to respond to what's on Facebook. You know, it's having a, you know you can blow away the argument, but it's not about that, right? It's about the connection and the relationship, right? So, and I think another thing is in Matthew 5:38, made it very clear about turning of the other cheek. And I think that is so important because what Jesus said there and also a little bit later on is, you know, how to love your enemies. He's talking about how can we ripple effect of positive, turning something that's negative and making it positive, right? Because I think, to be honest, as us as Christians, if we can be completely honest, we ripple the effect of retaliation and knowing that your brother and sister, because of a political matter, are your enemy. And we know that in Ephesians 6, that our enemy is not against flesh and blood. It's against princes, powers, and principalities in the high places. So if we understand that the Republicans are not our enemy, the Democrats are not our enemy, they're not your enemy. You're fighting them. And I think the thing is, Paul tells us to fight the good fight. Paul said that. And I think us as brothers and Christians, we don't fight the good fight. We have to learn to fight the good fight. And I think, and most importantly, I think for us to learn not to allow retaliation to be the president over us. And it's easy for us to do that. I've done it. We all have done it before. But I think what Jesus is saying is you be the president over retaliation. So if you understand that concept and what that looks like, is because I think if you look in Galatians 5:16, makes a point is if we bite and devour one another, he said, watch out, you're going to be destroyed by one another. So I think that's more important. But how can we ripple the positive effect by turning the other cheek? Is Jesus made it very clear to love your enemy. Paul highlights that in Romans 12, right? He says, hey, you overcome evil by doing good, right? When people speak things about you, or about your political party, you pray. I mean, to me, to be honest, I don't always agree with the president's sins, but I respect him. I respect him as a person. I respect that. I respect the position. But I don't have to agree with everything. I don't have to react to everything. That doesn't mean that I don't have to stand up. That doesn't mean that I have to retaliate, but it doesn't mean that I don't have to stand up or to say, hey, you know what, I don't agree, and that's okay. And I think we just like, need to learn to agree in a way that's very healthy. And I yield my time. So that's pretty much all I have.
Well, you're way ahead of the game.
Good morning. I'm not a very good speaker, so I'll use the word, okay? So, you know, we've been studying about the Beatitude and how to be peaceful in the time of election year. But I want to share with you in 2 Timothy 2:3, it says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. So, you know, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We serve God. We are not part of this world. If we are disciples, we're not part of this world. He said we are soldiers in God's army. We are in a spiritual battle. And so he said, civilian, we should not get into... we should not get involved with the civilian affairs. You know, what are the civilian affairs? You know, the things of this world, the election, politics, all those things. So we have so many things to focus on, the things of the spiritual things, and not to get involved in the civilian affairs. You know, we can get so distracted about so many things. You know, you're going on the internet, so you know, so many things to be distracted by. But, you know, Paul said to focus on what we're here for. You know, we're not here to, to take side on politics, this party or that party. But our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. I want to share with you another scripture in Romans 13, verse 1-6. It says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except that which is God established. The authority that exists have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against God who has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. You know, also Paul says that, you know, the authority that is established is God's. God is the one who put the authority. The leaders who's leading our country. So, you know, sometimes we don't like the people who in government, in authority, but God put them there for a reason. Sometimes we don't see it, but God knows. Even though we think, oh, that guy's a bad guy or a terrible guy, but God knows that he's there for a reason. You know, God has used bad, wicked men in the Bible for his purpose. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrian, he used wicked leaders for his purpose. And we don't know what his, you know, God, we don't know what's, you know, why he put the president now. You know, sometimes some of us think that he's not a good president, but God has a reason why he's there. We don't know that, but from what my conviction is, I trust God. You know, whoever's in leadership, I trust him. Even though I don't like his character, but I trust that God is using him for a reason, for a purpose. So that's what I get from this, is trusting God, whoever's there. Okay, man. God has a reason for him to be there.
Amen. Okay, well, Scott finished early too.
Give me a second more time.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do is we're going to make the lightning round a minute and a half. How about that?
All right.
But I appreciate, I got to make sure I know how to work this phone here. It does have a timer, but we haven't really needed it. Don't start yet. But I appreciate each brother and what they've shared. Some of them have stolen scriptures I'm going to use later in the class, so don't hold that against me. Some of those scriptures will pop up again. But these are hard things to think about and wrestle with. You know, they are hard things. Our emotions are really stirred up by what goes on in the news and what happens in public life and you know, our government officials and things they say and ways they act. And, you know, it's real to wrestle with these things. It's okay to wrestle with these things. And that's why we wanted to have this class, to try to bring scriptures and bring, you know, what Jesus had to say. And later we'll look at Paul and some other teaching in the New Testament to help us, as the brothers have emphasized, to remain spiritual, to remain focused on God and how he wants us to be, so we can survive this year. So we will now move on. To the lightning round. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate everything you guys have shared. I think that somewhere in all of us, each one of us can probably see an avatar for ourselves, and I think that that helps, that we can all kind of hear each other and talk to each other and see different views. I really appreciated, Deary's, what you talked about kind of the ripple of positive effects, right? I think that made a big impact as far as in my mind being able to understand that, you know, what the little thing I does matter beyond the action I just performed. So I appreciate you saying that. You know, I think the one thing that, and I'll kind of bring it together too, I want to get back to talking about, you know, being spiritual, right? And, you know, being able to survive by being spiritual, for me, I can get very academic and think, okay, I just need to be spiritual, but if I don't kind of attach that to something that's emotional in my life, I'm never going to be able to respond in an emotional situation. So I need to figure out how to take that deeper and understand what that really means. The other thing was, you mentioned connection and relationship. And, you know, I think it, kind of bringing that together with what you said, Scott, about, you know, not getting involved. You know, I don't necessarily agree that we shouldn't get involved. I think that, you know, Todd brought up the fact that the first century had a very political culture. And the way that Christians navigated it in the first century.
Did I forget to tell you I wasn't going to warn you that the end was coming? Finish your sentence.
Okay.
Finish your sentence.
Okay. I was saying that political culture, the way that Christians impacted that political culture was by helping people that couldn't be helped. It was a very personal care for the fatherless, for the orphans. And through that care, they became famous. And the Romans knew who they were because of the care and love they had for people that couldn't help themselves. So I think we get in the mistake of feeling like we have to affect the larger political landscape when all Christians did in the first century to tear down the Roman Empire was help the people that couldn't help themselves enough to make an impact. I think that's where I can really find my ability to make an impact, is where can I be righteous with the people I see are facing injustice and need help that I can help with the resources that I have, not just trying to affect, you know, a larger political party. So I think in that way, that's how I would get involved, just not in a larger sense.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. Yeah, I also appreciate greatly what everyone shared. And, Darius, what you said about turning the negative into positive. I mean, I think that's the power of Christianity, is you can take a negative thing and it can become very positive. You can, you know, turn the other cheek and win people over and things like that. You know, this is Martin Luther King Day weekend. And I think what made the civil rights movement so powerful was that of the Christian teachings that Dr. King shared, you know, of turning the other cheek. I mean, he didn't make it up. It came from Jesus. But that was so powerful, and it changed people's minds and changed people's hearts by doing that, responding that way. I think also about, our politicians do affect our resources. They do affect our lives, and those decisions affect our lives. And that can be very challenging. Now, in the first century, that was particularly so with the Christians, in that it could affect their lives literally. I mean, they could be thrown to lions and all that. And so I see this year and these situations and this climate that we're in is a good opportunity for us to learn to trust God more and just completely focus and rely on Him for all of our needs, just to see that He will take care of us. Scott, what you shared about not being distracted, being focused on what our purpose is here, the spiritual things, I think also is really great. And Perry, what you shared about being able to make a difference and getting our worth from God was also really poignant. Thank you. I yield my time to the gentleman from Lawrenceville.
I appreciate that. Well, I think it's been great. I think a lot with Perry said it was very good. Like, who's in our partner can help, allocate the resources. I think that's very important. I realize that on top of that, there's other matters in which people deem important to them. I realize that, like what 1 Timothy said, right, in regarding to making sure that we pray for those who are in leadership so the gospel can spread. The gospel doesn't spread is because there's a lot of conflict. And a lot of the stuff goes on with the resources. And, not really, and also at the same time, our value from God is very intrinsic, it's inward. So I just think it's understanding that and putting the Sermon on the Mount in practice helps us to really understand that, hey, we're being like Jesus in the midst of that moment. And I like what, definitely what Scott said, that was some very important, just really realizing that there's going to be people that are going to be in the politics or the president or the emperor at certain times that does some crazy stuff. You look at Emperor Nero, he was really crazy, actually, very crazy, the emperor. But he was a first century emperor that was very, out of his mind. But at the same time, the Christians survived that. So I think we can learn to trust God during those momentary times. You look at many different stories from the biblical account. As he mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar, the king over Babylon. That was just another situation there. So we see these moments that we definitely have to trust God. I think the involvement of being in the political part, I think we need to be involved in where God says, I'm in charge here.
Time's up.
Okay, this weekend is Martin Luther King's birthday holiday. Just like Todd was mentioning, he used non-violence, non-resistance. Non-resistance doesn't mean that we're passive, we don't do anything.
Right.
It's really proactive.
Right.
You see how it affected the whole nation, how it affected the whole world, that what Martin Luther King has done. Non-resistance doesn't mean we're passive, but we are making as the Christians, as we follow God's command, we are making an impact. Just like Mahatma Gandhi, just one man, non-violence, drove the empire, British Empire, away from India. So God's work works. You see how it worked through history. If we put God's word in practice, it will change people's lives.
Right.
We got to trust that. And so what Jesus taught in the Beatitude is very hard, but it's how we're going to affect the world.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. Well, I appreciate everyone's input and your thought, and it was good stuff. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Well, since we didn't use all of our time, we have a couple of minutes for comments, so I don't know if anybody else wants to to share something in response to what was said today or the past couple of weeks, what you've been learning from the class, what's hard for you, what's easy for you, what's encouraging for you. I'll just open it up for a couple of comments here. Amen. Amen. Anybody? Yes, sir.
I think when we look at this topic, in my mind, what it boils down to is fellowship, right? In the sense of, you know, as we live our lives, right, we make different decisions. And we make the decision we're going to follow God and the things that He says in His Word and trust. Or we're going to go with the world and what they, you know, what the world does and follow the crowd. And so the thing that I'm, I guess the when I look at the scriptures, when I look at, when I hear the different conversations, it just boils down to who are you going to follow and what are you going to do? And I think that, you know, that permeates, you know, it goes beyond politics, it goes beyond, you know, the grocery store that you shop at, it goes beyond a lot of different things that we try to categorize. But it all boils down to, are you going to believe God in His promises, or are you going to believe the world and all the things that they do?
Amen. Amen. Kenny? Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
I just want to say that I just think it's great that the spirit of the conversation, because in my mind, Sundays is one of the most segregated days in the country. Doing sports, churches, you name it. There's so much that divides us, but I think it's great that we're having a conversation on a very difficult topic. It reminds me of that scripture where in Ephesians, where it talks about making every effort to keep the unity of the spirit, the bond of peace. And I think that continuing this conversation and having a dialogue and really just sharing openly and honestly where everything comes from is great. So I just wanted to thank you guys for making this time come together with that students.
Amen. Amen. Well, cool. Well, next week and the week after, we will look at more things that Jesus said outside the Sermon on the Mount. And I hope it will also be helpful to us. And then the week after that, we will have another panel. Four different brothers will come up here and share about those classes. And that's how we will continue to go on into the spring. So be praying for the class and to be helpful to us all. And be praying for each other that we can be godly in this ungodly world. Let's close out with a prayer, and then we can get our children and have our worship service. Dear God, thank you again that we can meet here today, that we have this building to meet in, that we are free to meet here. Father, thank you for the brothers who shared. Thank you for the comments that were made. Father, as we look at your word, and we thank you above all for Jesus, for the things he came and taught us, for the example he set for us, that we can follow him, Father, and that we can overcome the negative influences and voices of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.